And he's talking about an asymptotic expansions for the accuracy of parameter estimations in binary systems.
Apparently. Okay, thank you. The title is actually slightly different than the one that was in the program, just because I was ambitious and I was thinking about talking about the third paper of a series of three papers we have been working on. And we finished the first two. The third one, we only went halfway. And so these are going to be a little bit of a summary of the three papers. And I think it's a good idea because this material has not been exposed. So it's kind of interesting to explain it. So the approach is an approach that has already been proposed in other forms, but is how to study the accuracy of a maximal likelihood estimator for situations where you have a nonlinear relationship, non-Gaussian noise, or any kind of phenomenon. And this is still a frequentist methodology. So out there, the Kramer-Rao bound has been used quite a bit, but it's pretty well known that in low signal-to-noise ratio, it's an underestimation of the error. And pretty much we expect that it's likely that the first detection is not going to be a very high SNR. So what do? If we have a detection of a moderate to low SNR? And so there are other approaches to study the accuracy of maximal likelihood estimator to moderate to low SNR or any SNR, like Monte Carlo and Bayesian pipelines. But the idea is that we should follow any line that gives us some new understanding. And what this talk is going to be is going to be a little, tourist exploration of this technique and show which kind of understanding you can learn about parameter estimation. And I'm going to talk about three applications in this paper, so in this talk. If some of the details are not going to be up because I prepared the slides too fast or stuff like that, you can look at the papers. So the first application is going to be to estimating parameters from an in-spiral binary system and with a single interferometer. And this is published in PRD. It's very recent. The second paper that is in the archive, submitted, is not published yet, does the same thing for IMR signals, and these are the one that Ajit prepared for the Ninja 2 project. And there's no attempt to estimate the source direction parameters. A third one, where I'm going to say something toward the end of this talk that we are finishing, is to talk about the capability and directional reconstruction for IMR signals. There is a fourth paper that I'm not working on, but one of my students is doing a surf experience this summer at Caltech, and these are the mentors, and is applying the same thing to binary black hole system with spins. So a little disclaimer, I'm going to talk about asymptotic expansion of the errors, and for errors I mean moments of the maximal likelihood estimators, and this idea is not completely new. I mean, the approach we follow is new, but the idea was brought up already by Finn, Flanagan, and Vallisneri. Actually, the most recent paper from Vallisneri was in 2008. And the difference of what they did and what we are doing, first of all, I was not aware of what they were doing, but they were advocating to do expansion of the signal in signal-to-noise ratio, while the approach they follow comes from underwater acoustics and uses expansion of the likelihood function. And so they gave an algorithm to derive these expansions. They didn't produce the expansion in a final form or apply it directly to gravitational waves, and that's what we did. But it's interesting that the surf student at Caltech recently proved that the two expansions for Gaussian noise are actually equivalent, even if the one that we derived had been derived for an arbitrary noise. So what are these expansions? So the idea is that if you know the probability distribution of your data, and you can expand the variance and the bias of your estimator in terms of inverse powers of the signal-to-noise. And here for signal-to-noise, I mean the standard signal-to-noise of match filtering. And it turns out that the first order here of the bias is the so-called Kramer-Rao lower bound. So you can use these expansions to have a more accurate evaluation of the error, just including the second order, or can also use the expansion to come up with condition for the validity of the Kramer-Rao lower bound by checking when the second order is much smaller than the first order. You can also use the expansion to check if the bias in your estimator at a certain point becomes relevant or not. So just to give you, well, these are the standard definitions that are going to be involved in some of the terms. The signal-to-noise ratio, this is the Fisher information, and this guy is defined like this integral. You've seen this quite a bit. And just to give you an idea, this is the kind of form that the second-order covariance takes, and all of these terms, this tensor, they're actually expectation values of derivatives of the logarithm of the likelihood function. So, and what is the advantage of this kind of objects? The advantage is that the Kramer-Rao lower bound, and which is here, it's actually just a measure of the curvature of the likelihood function. This quantity actually can be written as the second derivative of the likelihood function. So if you have a second derivative, you have a measure of the curvature. The second order contains higher order of the derivatives. For example, if you have four indexes here, it means that there is the expectation of a fourth derivative. Now, if you think about the polynomial of a function, if you know the first derivative and the second derivative, you can approximate the central peak. If you know the third derivative, you can get the first saddle point. And if you have the fourth derivative, you can start getting the side lobes. Okay? So the second order captures the presence of secondary peaks in the likelihood function. Now let me show you why this is good. I'm going to show you a bunch of examples now. No real data. We'll just calculate everything for ideal LIGO, advanced LIGO, and advanced Virgo noise. So let me show you a typical kind of plot that you can derive. So this is the estimate for this system of the is the error in the arrival time, and this quantity here, and this is in the case where we are letting all the parameters unknown. So this one is the Kramer-Rao lower bound that it goes down linearly with the signal-to-noise ratio, and the green one is the second order. So basically what you can see is that only above 20 you can safely say that the Kramer-Rao bound is enough to estimate the error in the arrival time. Now, keep in mind that this plot includes all the parameters. I didn't include it, but if you generate the same plot where you treat only the time as a known parameter, then the second order would cross more around between 2 and 4 SNR. So if you try to estimate everything, including the time, well, you need to go a larger SNR before you're fine. Now, let me give you another example. This is, someone might say, well, the error that you're actually estimating, does it really work? Well, this is a numerical simulation that has been published in 2008. This is the Kramer-Rao bound, and this is the Monte Carlo, and these are the error predicted by the Monte Carlo. And this is the error predicted by the Kramer-Rao bound, and this is the Kramer-Rao bound plus the second order. So with our second order, we go pretty close to the Monte Carlo simulation. Now, why should we double somehow the effort? Well, because with this expansion, you can actually learn independent information. Let me give an example. If you calculate the second order and the first order for the case where the time is the only unknown parameter, and you check when the second order is smaller than the first order, you get this condition here. So what is this condition here? This condition says that the Kramer-Rao lower bound is attained if the signal-to-noise ratio, or the square, is larger than the kurtosis of the spectrum. This is a fairly new kind of information, something that you wouldn't expect. Meaning, if you have two signals that have the same bandwidth, and the bandwidth is the second moment of the spectrum, but they have different kurtosis, and here I plot different examples. This one and this one, they have the same second moment, but they have different kurtosis, meaning this one, the kurtosis is higher. Well, for this one, the Kramer bound is attained a larger signal to noise ratio. So you can get quite a new wealth of information. Let me give you another example. It's actually quite known that if you add the merger and the ring down, and you start plotting the uncertainties with respect to the parameters, in this case, the total mass of the system, you can have minima in the error. And it has been published that these minima were due to the presence of the merger and the ring down. We actually observe minima even just with the in spiral phase due to the contribution of the second order. And this one is the Kramer bound, and this one is the Kramer bound plus the second order. Now, let me tell you a little bit what happens if you, to the second order, when you include the merger and the ring down phase, applying, for example, to a binary black hole system. Now, the general trend is that the errors, they go down a little bit, but the signal to noise ratio necessary to attain the Kramer bound tends to be a little bit larger. So this table here is the is a table that contains value of the first order and the second order for different masses and different value of eta, and this is all calculated for an SNR of 10. And as you can see, the second order is important quite a bit at SNR of 10. And the bias is not very important unless you go to relatively large masses. Actually, let me show you a little more what I mean for large masses. So this plot here, you have the same range so here you have the error in time and the relative error in the estimation of the mass and in eta. And if you go from top to the bottom, you have different value of eta, 0.25 and 0.222 or 0.16. And actually it turns out that if you go to a very large value of the masses, we expect to observe biases in the estimation. Now, these are regions that have not been probed yet from simulation, but it's going to be interesting to see if these biases actually exist. Now, let me give you another example of features that you can predict with this technique. This is in red is the first order bias, and this is the second order bias. And it turns out that the second order bias has more fluctuating behavior in increasing the mass, while the first order bias is just a monotonic thing. And this is what describes this kind of bouncing up and down. Now, let me give you, say, a few examples of the kind of information you can extract for the direction reconstruction. As I said, this is supposed to be just a tour. I mean, the two papers have a lot of detail. I'm happy to talk with people. So this is an example where, let me tell you what is on the axis. So in this case, we have a network of LIGO, Virgo, and Hanford, and we have a binary system, and the axis of the binary system is 90 degrees with the direction of arrival to us. And the axes here are not chosen with the reference frame of the Earth. We chose a reference frame that uses the symmetry of the network. The z-axis goes from Livingstone to Hanford, and the y-axis is in the plane that also contains Virgo. So this one is our theta, and halfway. It means that this is the direction that is perpendicular to the line that connects Livingstone and Hanford. And it shows that, you have these two. This is the Kramer error bound. This is, there are two regions of large error, and there is an intermediate region of lower error. And it's actually consistent to what you have in standard array theory when you have a linear array and you want to reconstruct the direction of arrival. The direction perpendicular to the array, you always have a better accuracy than going away to the direction perpendicular of the array. And the yellow here is, this is for each position in the sky, the SNR was set up to 10, And the yellow here means that you have about 1/10 of a radiant of an error. And if we add the second order, well, now the yellow is about 1.5 radiant. So as I said, this is still relatively preliminary, at least the third part. But I just wanted to show qualitatively the kind of plots that come out. So there is theta, same thing happens for phi. And this plot has been generated using only theta and phi as unknown parameters. And just because we notice a trend that the errors get worse when you increase the full parameter. So I wanted to show for the full parameter, but we didn't manage to produce a result in time. So conclusion of this little overview, well, what we're going to do is just complete the directional paper. This expansion actually can be extended to the Bayesian formalism if you multiply the frequentist probability distribution that we used for priors. And we're actually planning to run the some of the Bayesian pipelines to reproduce these trends and see if they match quantitatively. So at this point was just a qualitative overview of to identify a region where it's interesting to look more in detail. Okay, thanks.